Let's open with hymn number 127. Beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us remission of all our sins. Our help is in the name of the Lord. My transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Behold, the Lord, the ruler, hath come, and the kingdom and the power and the glory are in his hand. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. Send, we beseech thee, thy Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive this light and make of it unto our salvation, and make use of it unto our salvation. And that we, like the wise men, when they were seeking the star, may not be afraid because of any hardship or peril, but put all our trust in thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, as our only true Savior. Devote our earthly possessions to the advancement of thy kingdom, and in all things serve him, thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this day is found in the second chapter of Isaiah, the second through the fifth verse. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 60th chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 6th verse. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Here ends the epistle lesson. All they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Arise, shine, O Jerusalem, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have seen his star in the east, and are come with gifts to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 12th verse. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 130. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in the 14th chapter of Zechariah, the 8th through the 11th verse. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half toward the west. In summer and in winter shall it be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananeel unto the king's wine presses. And all men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant that we may see the word of thy Son Jesus Christ and find it to be a refreshing stream of everlasting life. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, God's word is a living water. It is the only water of life, the fountain of eternal youth for which men have sought for generations. But it is a hidden fountain, because it cannot be found by those who seek it out, for it has never entered into the mind of man that God would provide something so rich and free as to cleanse men entirely from the guilt of sin and so grant them everlasting life. Despite this, it is also easy to find. Because though men do not seek God's word and cannot believe his grace without it, God brings his word to them. He puts it before their eyes in plain sight. But so few know what it is that they see. That is why it is a hidden fountain. For before they even know that God's word is there, he must reveal it to them by the power of his Spirit and transform their understanding and open their eyes. We cannot peer into the mind of God and understand how he works or why he chooses to reveal himself as he does. But we can be certain, because he has told us that he wants all men to drink of the river of everlasting life and live. For a time God hid his word in plain sight through his people Israel, and there in plain sight some came and drank, many in Israel and a few from other parts of the earth. By and large, the fountain stayed within the borders of that nation, for that is the place where those waters were to bear fruit. And God caused his eternal word to become flesh in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Among the few outside Israel who knew the Lord and looked for the incarnation of his Son were wise men from the east. Where in the east they lived, we are not told. The historical tradition of the church holds that they were the remnants of a school of learning which had survived since the days of the Chaldeans and Medes and Persians. Where such men would have learned of the true God is easy enough to determine. For when Israel was made captive in Babylon, God sent them his own wise man, the prophet Daniel, who carried the word of God with him. And he proclaimed it both to his own people and to the Babylonians all the days of his life. Because God's word is a living spring and not a dead pool, that word remained among them, even if only a few heard it and believed. And so it is that it finally bore fruit. When men from the east, guided by the divine sign of a moving star in the heavens, came to seek out that child who was to be born. Did God promise such a star in the scriptures? Most certainly. He made this promise in our epistle lesson, Isaiah 60, where it says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. True, the text does not say a star, but the wise men never claimed that God had specifically promised, in so many words, a star. He had promised them a Savior. And when the fullness of the time came, a time which the book of Daniel plainly revealed to them and to anyone who cared to take its prophecies literally, God sent these wise men who looked for the coming of Christ, a sign which they, being astronomers, would not fail to understand. Quite literally, they saw his light rise in the west. And though they were strangers to the kingdom of Israel, they sought that light, knowing what they came to find, not to find was the light of a star, but the light of Christ himself. And so it is that these wise men were the first to come and fulfill a prophecy made so many times in the scriptures, not the least of which is Isaiah 60, and also here in our sermon text. But Zechariah speaks of far more than a few coming to the kingdom of Israel to seek the promised Christ. Instead, it declares that the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. Half of them will go east, and half of them will go west. And nor will those waters ever cease to flow. They will continue in winter as well as in summer, until there is not a single kingdom in the world where men do not lift up their voices and praise the God of their salvation. And there they dwell, in his holy city Jerusalem. And so the Lord will be king over all the earth, for his word will reign everywhere, and not just in the Jerusalem after the flesh or Israel. Almost 2,000 years ago, according to the prophecy in the earlier part of the same chapter in Zechariah, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. It was set upon by Rome, who ruled over all the nations of the known world. And so literally all the nations surrounded them in on every side. But warned by God that this would occur, the church which was centered in Jerusalem had already dispersed throughout the known world, and they preached the word of God wherever they went. In this way, God sent his living water as a river, heading to the east and to the west, until every kingdom of the world had received it. And today this promise is still being fulfilled, and it will continue to be fulfilled until the end of the world. Christ has promised that his word will never pass away, but it will continue even to the day that the earth is melted with fervent heat and the heavens roll up and evaporate, and this present sinful order is utterly destroyed. And because of that, there will never be a time until the end where the preaching of the gospel ceases. Even in the darkest and most forbidding regimes in the world, even amid persecution and death, would that we would always consider the wondrous nature of our inheritance as the children of God, who no matter where they are, have the privilege of drinking from the water of life. For this world is a rocky place, a rough landscape filled with mountains and gorges and sinkholes and dangers of every kind. Faithfulness to the God of our salvation is rare and an endangered treasure. You no doubt worry about your own children's future in this world, as did your parents worry about you. They brought you to the Lord in other waters of life, the waters of baptism. They committed you to the care of your Savior, and yet they worried what your life in this world would be like, whether you would persevere in the faith of Christ, or like so many of your peers, succumb to the temptation to be godless, to give yourself over to the sinful pleasures of the world, or to fall into unbelief, because there are so many forces out there, of government or education or many other things, working tirelessly to destroy the foundation of your faith. And they had good reason to worry. We live in a marvelous age, and yet every invention which could be put to good use, such as the internet and music and television, is used for the most wretched evils, such as the filth of pornography and violent and hateful expression, or even just endless mind-numbing distraction. We have all experienced it, and have at times even opened our minds and let the filth of this world into our souls willingly, where it festered like a poison. But by the grace of God, we were brought back, were preserved, though we may still be sorely tempted. Perhaps you or those you know and love are still tempting God by dancing with the devil's delights. May God graciously awaken in each of us a continuing horror of sin and the dread of eternal death, that we might cling to his grace in the hour of temptation. But what of others who do not return? What of our children who will no doubt face far worse? I suppose that every generation of parents looks upon the future of this world with such dread and fears for what their children must endure. Experience teaches us that our fears are not unfounded, for we witness once faithful friends and family falling away. And you think within yourself, it happened to them. It can happen to me. It can happen to my children. Yes, to our mortal eyes, the landscape is bleak and forbidding. Who can survive it? But there, even in the worst wilderness, God has sent out his streams of mercy. And to everyone who drinks of that stream, God transforms this world from a broken and bleak landscape into a smooth plain where the people of God can dwell in safety. There all fear is wiped away, for our sins are cleansed in the water of life. In that place, death has been banished. They dwell in joy and gladness, for that is their heritage as children of God. No, this is not the world as men see it, but the world as the people of God see it. For God has not left us barren and hopeless. He has given to us the sure and everlasting promises which no power on earth can take away from us, so that even in the middle of the wilderness, he sends out his streams of mercy and forgiveness, and he creates a refuge where we are kept by the power of his word. When Herod sought to take the Christ child's life, the Lord preserved him and Mary and Joseph by causing them to flee into Egypt, a foreign land, the very place which once held God's people in slavery. And yet, for the Christ child, God made it into a haven of safety, for the Lord had made it so. And so it is for us and our children, and for everyone who has the fountain of life, who drinks from the word of God. We are already in the wilderness and were lost and barren, and God's word came to us out of the New Jerusalem, his holy Christian church. Whether we were in the east or the west, in Egypt, Babylon, or the farthest reaches of the world, and we are blessed. We are blessed to be free from persecution in America, but the persecution of our souls here goes on unseen. And it could hardly be worse than it is in our nation. How then does God's living water make us to dwell safely in such a place as this? It is by repentance and the remission of sins that his living water does its work in us. And it transforms the landscape of sin and temptation into victory and life. That is the refreshment that it offers. For it offers us not merely a drink of water in a dry place, a temporary cure for the symptoms of sin, but the real and everlasting refreshment of Christ himself, who perfectly and completely ends the reign of sin and death in us by taking our sin upon himself and by using his own death and resurrection to overcome them. Sin makes this world a treacherous place and nothing else. Name any threat to your soul, and at its root is always sin. Whether it's your natural desires or the many temptations, electronic or otherwise, which surround you every day. It has often been the case that an epidemic would infect the food or the water supply of a land, and thus perpetuate the disease. Sin is a disease that infects all the various forms of spiritual food and enlightenment which men seek and which they take into their souls. But we have been given better waters. The water of life is given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is not only a clean and refreshing water. It has the power to cleanse and to cure our sin. It is this that makes it the water of life. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Christ Jesus comes to you in this water and reveals to you, a stranger from his city, a foreigner, that you are beloved of the Lord. He loved you while you were yet in your sins, and he offers his own death as a cure for you. He has indeed taken your sin upon himself and given you his righteousness in exchange. All who have this water of life have no reason to fear for themselves, their children, or any future generation. For heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of Christ's mercy will abide with us forever, and it shall continue to transform the treacherous landscape of this world into a plain of safety, a haven for the people of God. And even the nature of this world itself must finally yield to the word of Christ. When every temptation and sin, even death, is overthrown, and nowhere will anyone ever threaten the people of God again. May God so grant that we continue to drink from this stream, that our souls may ever be refreshed. Let us also never neglect to give it to our children, that they too may never thirst, but be filled with the righteousness of Christ, and be fruitful in every good work. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, bless these gifts which we bring before thee, and make them fruitful unto the work of thy kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, whose alone and forever is the power, the kingdom, and the glory, we give thee thanksgiving and praise. We thank thee that by the leading of a star thou didst bring the wise men from the east to the feet of our Lord, to manifest thy light to the Gentiles. Lead the nations of the earth to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, and grant wisdom to all rulers of men, that they may serve him in love and fear. Prosper and bless thy word and the preaching of the gospel, that multitudes may come to faith in Jesus Christ, and that he may be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Endow all ministers with heavenly power and grace, that their labor may be abundantly and fruitfully blessed. Grant all who hear thy word the faith to believe it, strength to obey it, and courage to confess it. Give to thy Son the nations for his inheritance, and overcome all enemies of his truth. Overthrow all powers of darkness that bind men in superstition, ignorance, denial, and unbelief. Grant help to thy servants who fight a spiritual battle, until every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord, to thy glory, O Father. We beseech thee to look upon us who gather before thee. Lead us to offer to thy Son our time and talent, and indeed our whole lives, that we may be conformed to his will in body, mind, and soul. Grant that we may ever walk in the light of Christ, and find light in none other, that we may at last receive the crown of life. We pray that thou wouldst look upon our sick in mercy, and show them the way out of all their trials. Comfort the aged and the lonely with thy presence. Shepherd the young, console the sorrowing, heal the brokenhearted. Forgive us all our sins and grant us newness of life in Jesus Christ, in whose name we bring these and all our petitions. Amen. We sing hymn number 134.
Come on.
with you. Lift up your hearts. Give thanks unto the name of the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, and that in him being found in fashion as a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory
which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, the Lord God, that take us away.
this is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn number 47.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.